Pleased to welcome back to the program, actually, Dr. Samantha O'Connell of Aspire Health Alliance here in Quincy. She's the chief psychologist and also the director of the Employee Assistance Program. Doctor, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
It's been, I actually checked, it's almost 7 months to the day. It was May 13th that we last chatted when the pandemic was, you know, in full blown for the first surge. And here we are again, 7 months later, still remotely communicating.
Wow. That just shocked me, actually. It speaks to sort of the denial of, that shocks me that it was that long ago, but it was.
Yeah, I went and looked it up just to see, and it does seem like just yesterday, but it's a lot has happened between now and then, certainly. How are you doing personally, first of all?
Yeah, you know what? Today, doing all right. I think like everybody, we all are just, I feel like we talked about this last time, you know, it depends on the day and the moment, but generally, you know, feel blessed. Things are going okay. We're healthy, but it's still a lot of emotions come up still.
Yeah, that's helpful too, isn't it? To kind of take a step back and assess and like they say, count your blessings, right?
Count your blessings and count how hard it is. I honestly believe in like an equal balance of both, because if we're denying the parts that are really hard, then the blessings don't feel so blessed.
Good points. Yeah, absolutely. Do the pros and the cons. How yeah. How is Aspire coping through all this? What's the current status, I guess, of the situation?
You know, I just feel so proud to be part of Aspire right now. It has been, you know, it has been the way that they have risen to the challenges in the community. You know, the clinicians are still in there doing the work. You know, around the holidays, we're trying to come together and, you know, support one another, help we're supporting each other. And it's just been really beautiful to see the kinds of work and sharing that's been done. So we are, you know, we're there, we're going strong, and just really proud to be part of that agency right now, because everybody is working really hard and doing the best that we can.
Are you actually seeing clients in person yet, or is it still virtually?
Some. We are, you know, we have many programs where the need, it has to be face-to-face. You know, we have people living in the residence housings, and of course our emergency services program is, you know, the same as it has been. In terms of outpatient care, most of it is virtual, but we definitely have clinicians who are going in and taking all the precautions for cases when it just makes the most sense, or somebody really needs to get into the office. So it's a combination.
Okay. Are you seeing, you know, the impact on your clinicians, like we're seeing on the actual healthcare workers, the nurses, the doctors? They're talking about stories of exhaustion and physical and emotional exhaustion. Are you seeing that in your clinicians as well?
Yeah. You know, we're pretty fortunate in that caregiver burnout is something that we try to, you know, we talk a lot about, and we try to prevent and think about. That being said, this is wild, right? This is really taxing people in a whole different way than other things. We're so, you know, collectively affected by this, but it is part of our conversations. And so, you know, we are doing a lot of things to prevent clinician burnout and caretaker burnout, because if we're not at our best, then there's no way that we'll be at our best for the people whom we serve. So we're seeing it, but also definitely addressing it. So I know that in the medical field, I feel like there's much less time and less, you know, fewer resources devoted to it. But I'm also noticing an uptick in mental health services for medical professionals as well, which has been really wonderful.
Yeah. So do you encourage them, if they are experiencing problems, to reach out for help?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they often talk about the metaphor of putting, you know, like in an airplane, put your own mask on before helping somebody else. And we all need to do that. So I feel like the field has been moving. It's been a jump start with, you know, the COVID pandemic and having to really do that, but we have to. And I feel like medical workers are doing better at trying to take care of their own needs. And we're certainly encouraging it and trying to reach out as well.
Yeah. How are you seeing kind of the pandemic, you know, manifest itself when it comes to mental health, both short term, you know, that you're seeing immediately, and how do you anticipate it impacting us long term?
Yeah, big question, Joe.
I know.
In terms of the long term, we don't know. Yeah. You know, we don't know. But we've been through things like we've been through collective traumas throughout history in many ways. And we know the things that help. We know the kinds of things that we can expect. That there has been an uptick in the use of mental health services for sure, whether it's existing patients or clients or more people reaching out. So there's definitely been an uptick. And it's just, it's manifesting in a lot of different ways. And so we've been really glad that there's been more usage, but I still think about all of the people out there that aren't, that are struggling at home and aren't using services or aren't aware of the services.
Yeah. What are, how would somebody kind of recognize within themselves that, that they're experiencing some issues because of this pandemic when it comes to their mental health? What should they be kind of mindful of or aware of within their own personalities?
Right. Well, first of all, that it's a big old dose of normal, and most people are experiencing all kinds of things. I was thinking about the stages of loss. Some people have. I think you and I talked a bit about grief and grief around the holidays, maybe about a year ago, and thinking about how much loss we sort of have to pay attention to and have been paying attention to, or our systems aren't paying attention to, but it's sneaking out in funny ways. I think people, the first thing that I would want to say about that is that the range of emotions that people are experiencing that is absolutely warranted by the situation is so vast. So everybody is on a roller coaster. When you think about the stages of, grief, loss, just dealing with that, I mean, what kind of emotions do you think of when I say stages of grief or loss?
Fear, anxiety, anger.
All of those, right.
Yeah.
So, we may just notice that we may be vacillating between like feeling really angry, really mad, and it sneaks out in funny ways, or feeling really despondent, really just sad and hopeless, different kinds of denial. Personally, I'm a psychologist. I'm pretty connected with my emotions, and I wasn't feeling a lot of the sadness. I was feeling like I've been really, really busy, and also feeling really positive. I've been getting extra time with my kids in the morning. We've been slowing things down, creating some traditions. And yet I started opening up Christmas cards with my daughter, and I started to cry. And she's looking at me, and I'm looking kind of at myself thinking, whoa, where is this coming from? And I realized how sad I was about missing my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't aware of that. So what to look for, we could name those things. And it's also what we're not seeing that we might become curious about, I was really kind of denying that was something really, really impacting my inner system that I wasn't paying attention to.
Those sneaky emotions, boy, they get you when you're least expected.
Yes, right. Which reminds me of an awesome free Christmas gift that I would like to just put a plug out there for.
Please, yeah.
You ready for it?
I don't know. We'll find out.
It's called the repair. And what this means is, so say you're a, parent or a caregiver or whatever. And we all are stressed out. And sometimes we snap and we yell and we do this and we do that. I mean, bringing it, we all do these things. And it may engender shame in our system after. Oh my gosh, I totally snapped at, my child, my whoever. The repair is where you fully accept it and you can go back and you can say, that was about me. Especially when we're talking about a little kid, the best gift you could ever give a child is to say, you know what? I'm sorry. Mom was really stressed out. That was completely about me and not about you. And as parents, we may, or, teachers, whomever, we may be thinking, oh gosh, if we bring that up, they'll think about it more. The truth is no. And how powerful it is because when you're a kid, you think it's about you. So when you have an adult saying, that was really my bad. That was completely about me. Sure, you might want to teach about whatever you were upset later, but do that later. The repair is really just going out, going back and saying, I'm sorry. And that can be worth so much. It can change a kid's whole perspective.
Oh, that's a great gift. You know, it's what the healing is forgiveness, right?
Right. But you have to forgive yourself at first to acknowledge that was a part of me that kind of lost it there, in order to be able to say, that was just a part of me. It had nothing to do with you, and it's not me, actually. It's just okay. Part of me.
And does that kind of, in a child's eyes, does that kind of, I don't know, humanize their parent a little more or change their perspective of their parent?
Yes. I mean, it's before a certain age, kids just believe that bad things happen because of them, unless we explicitly tell them that it's not. So whether it's the coronavirus or death or somebody getting mad, at a certain point, you know, they're always going to love the parent, even if the parent isn't leading with the kindest behaviors. So if a parent can say, that's not about you, that can absolutely just change the way the child perceives themselves and can protect their self-esteem. And give perspective, like, oh, when I get an emotion, that's fine, because my mom just had one.
Okay, all right. What should parents be looking for, Doctor, in their kids to, you know, be aware of or be concerned about?
Yeah. Well, first, listening. You know, listening and looking to what their kids are saying or not saying, and just checking in. Changes in behavior. You know, of course, everybody's behavior is changing because of the world around us and our routines are so disrupted, but noticing just, you know, the desire to socialize is, you know, reduced. Not wanting to eat, really, or appetite going reducing, not being able to sleep, maybe getting aches and pains in their body, you know, especially kids who are less likely to express themselves, they may feel it more in their body when they're holding it in. So yeah, changes in any kind of eating, sleeping, and the regular, just sort of, you know, regulatory kinds of symptoms in their body. And then also just big changes in how they're talking and the things that they want to do. Most kids are really feeling lonely and missing their friends right now. And on the other hand, some kids are feeling a lot of the relief. Kids who are maybe more socially anxious, they've been feeling the relief, but that can get, there's a risk to that because it can get stamped in, you know? Some of us have more
way out, right? Yeah.
Yes. And that can get more, you know, like that they may have to push harder because they want to be social, but you know, with the restrictions, we are sort of not exercising those muscles to get out there. And so our introverted parts are kind of like, woo, maybe we can do this forever.
Yeah, I understand.
I know.
I can be that kid. I understand for sure.
Yeah.
But when does it,
when
is it not healthy, I guess? You know, how do you know it's not, when it's becoming not healthy?
I think when it's really impacting the functioning, you know, we are all having ups and downs. Right. It's the natural response to life right now. It would be unnatural to be completely even all of the time because we have a stress system that is going to go up and down. We do have losses. Things aren't the way that we imagined they would be. And so we're dealing with that. But when it starts to really impact functioning, you know, the not being able to be social in whatever ways we can do that now, not being able to concentrate in affecting some of those health domains like eating and sleeping, that's when it's indicative of, and it's lasting more than a few days.
Okay.
All right. This means it might be something a little bit more significant.
Okay. So that maybe then it's time to seek some professional help.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the distress and disturbance in your life and then lasting, you know, getting into a bit of a pattern, not letting it go too long, but recognizing that, all right, this is becoming more of a typical state rather than just a transient state.
Yeah. Is the, you know, the promise of a vaccine a reason for hope and a reason for, you know, folks to see, I guess, an end game, a light at the end of the tunnel kind of?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of fears around it too. You know, yeah. People are almost, I've been hearing people having fears around having hope, you know, in the beginning, thinking this will just be over in a minute. And so feeling a little bit like they've, you know, sort of allow, and in some way it can be healthy to know, all right, we all have to roll with the punches and things may change, things not, may not, there may be more bad things to come. And wow, there might be some, there might be a real light here at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So just holding both.
You mentioned the holidays earlier. Of course, more holidays are coming up again. We saw, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday come and go, and a lot of folks just couldn't resist. You know, they just had to travel and to see those folks that they hadn't seen in so long. How do you get through the holiday season during a pandemic, Doctor?
Oh my gosh. I mean, there is no one size fits all for this. I really have just so much, you know, compassion for everybody right now around people wait for like the many people sort of two camps. One is you wait for the holidays and you wait for the fun and you can hold off on seeing everybody and you can, in that, you know, that is not the reality right now. The parties, the things won't be the way that they were in the past. You can't go into stores and touch all the presents like you used to. You know, you may not, whatever traditions you have will be different. It's really hard. Grief, complicated grief, you know, people have lost people. Holidays are often when you come together and maybe you'll talk about, you know, who you're, you know, the bereaved, you'll share memories. You'll share in the space of people who loved who you lost with you. That's a real big loss that can be, you know, really make people furious and sad and despondent. And so it's really, really hard. There's another camp of people who, you know, home for the holidays can bring a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a bunch of mixed emotions. And so one of the things is like, just realizing that things won't be the same right now. They won't be, right?
Acceptance, right?
Acceptance. I guess if we're going through those stages, you know, which of course are not linear, you know, you may become angry and sad. Acceptance is that one of those spaces where there is a lot of hope and can be a lot of fun. One example I had, somebody who I'd been in contact with caught the coronavirus before Thanksgiving. Mom, we were all negative, my family, but we had to stay, you know, we couldn't see the, you know, the grandparents or whom we were supposed to see. And we decided this is the way it's going to be. And so we shifted our tradition. At our holiday Thanksgiving meal, we had sides we were actually thankful for, like frozen Charleston shoes and Cheetos and and kind of making it fun. So there's a way that families can shift, you know, if they're in their small groups, just with their family, make things fun, invite the kids, invite people to figure out how would you, if you had a choice and we could make this, you know, your kind of holiday, what could we do?
Okay. All right. So start new traditions, basically.
Yeah. And accepting and grieving together. And just, it's not, things aren't the same, but it doesn't mean it has to be bad.
Yeah, or permanent, right? I mean, it may seem like an eternity right now, but
yes. Although my kids think we're having Cheetos every Thanksgiving at this point, so careful.
I'm afraid you're gonna have to now, even if you have everything else. there's, you know, humor, I guess, is a helpful relief mechanism too.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. You have some information you wanted to share with folks, Doctor, to access some of your services we wanted to show here. And if you could explain maybe what this is, that would be great.
Yeah. So through a spot you had asked Joe about, okay, when is it how do we recognize and what do we do if it's something more serious? You know, if you do have concerns about a loved one or yourself, or you really are saying, okay, this is really feeling like we need some urgent care. Maybe we just need to have a conversation about that. Talk with a professional about what I'm seeing in myself, feeling in myself or in a loved one. This, our ESP program is where you would go for sort of emergency room for mental health. Okay. So not, you know, skipping the emergency room and going directly to somebody who would be equipped to deal with a psychiatric emergency. And again, you can call the number here 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's free. And it really can just be a conversation. Like, you know, you don't even have to say your name at first when you call. You can say, this is what's going on. And you'll get some help on the other line. The people are well equipped to help direct you toward services, to give evaluations, to figure out what you might need. So I definitely encourage anybody to use that.
Okay, and you mentioned this, so there's no insurance required for this? It's strictly a phone assistance?
Yes, well, so this number, absolutely, where you just call to sort of, you know, have that first conversation, say what you need to say, and then they can direct you towards services that may be where you could use your insurance if you needed a level of care or whatnot.
Okay, gotcha, very good. We'll lift that up for folks to see. And is it through the website as well, or just the phone numbers there?
You can go to the website to check out all the different kinds of services as well. So you could check out the website for sure for all different kinds of things, but the easiest and most direct way would be that to use the phone number.
Okay. And are you seeing an increase in people calling these numbers?
Yep. Yeah. We are.
Very good. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Anything else you'd like to share?
Just that the other gift that people could give is to take that turn toward themselves, to ask themselves what they need, to offer themselves the gift of compassion. Because if you can do that, you're just much more equipped to be open, compassionate with others, be able to receive. So I'm encouraging, I guess, the gift of self-compassion and patience, because we do have control over that. We have control over being able to look inside and see what we need and to ask for that. So just encouraging that. And I hope that you have a good holiday season.
Thank you. The same to you. We'll do the best we can under the circumstances, right? Personally, for me, it's helpful, really is, to count my blessings, you know, and be thankful for the good things that are happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good to talk to you, Doctor. Oh, pleasure. And please reach out if we can be of any assistance here at QATV to get information out to the community, like the ESP program, we'd be happy to help you with that.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Be well.
All right. You too. See you later.